नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स सो दिस मॉर्निंग We have discussed the special javana, which active running through the object, which brings us to the plane of sublime cognition and of the super mundane cognition. And we have also continued with the explanation of the mental factors that are responsible for wholesome cognition. And we have explained that when it comes to the sublime cognition or the supermundane cognition, then of course these mental factors become very firm. Without them, this more subtle cognitions cannot take place. So you should be clear about it. And when you are training in samadhi, first you train in the kama vachara samadhi. And the kama vachara samadhi, then to approximate samadhi, which is also kama vachara samadhi. And the all these states of samatha and also vipassana, they have to do with wholesome cognitions. And they have to do with wholesome cognitions, we will learn a little later. Maybe you have already found out in your books, wholesome cognition is of different kinds. And the wholesome cognition is also the cognition which can be either with knowledge is here nothing else than panya, than wisdom, and can be also without knowledge. These are the superior ones are with knowledge, and the inferior ones are without knowledge. So the first you have to train in stability in the wholesome cognition in samatha and vipassana with knowledge. Only then you will be able to stabilize them. Only then you will be able to go through this very special javana, very special running through the object into a different plane of cognition. So you should be clear that this wholesome cognition, now when you learn the absorption, you first have to go through the first jhana, just like when you learn the supermundane cognition, you first have to go to sotapatti, magga and phala. Only then you can go to higher supermundane cognitions. So the changing of the stage of cognition you should be very clear about it is then always in connected with this special javana, special running through the object. And entering this special cognition is then through, always through the wholesome mind, kama vachara, wholesome mind, if connected with wisdom. Then when you pass from the first to the second jhana, from the second to the third, from the third to the fourth, from the fourth to the fifth, from the fifth to the arupa jhanas, 1, 2, 3, 4, you always have to pass through this special cognition which we have described today. There is no change of the level of cognition without passing through this process of special javana, which you have learned this morning. Parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu. And all these chittas, parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu, all these chittas are the parikama, upachara, anuloma are the still the kama vachara, wholesome cognition with wisdom. Then the gotrabhu becomes the first mind of surpassing the more gross kind of cognition and coming to the more subtle kind of cognition. Now we are discussing these factors that are common to all wholesome cognitions. And we have mentioned that there are 19 of them. And because they are also important for your understanding of meditation, their development in a way is the development of meditation. So you should try your best to understand them. And as usual, in Abhidhamma, the order in which they are being taught is also of importance. I have pointed that out. Other thing to understand is that these wholesome cognitions, they summarize the all wholesome conditioning that you need for realization. So the Thirty-seven bhojangas, the 37 causes of enlightenment, are nothing but these 19 wholesome conditionings of mind, 19 factors of wholesome cognition, which are present in each and every wholesome cognition. And then, in addition to that, we have 6 factors, we will learn them, the first are called niyata, that means they are fixed to be in each and every moment of wholesome cognition. And then you have the so-called unfixed one, the aniyatas. 6 of them, they can or cannot be present in each and every moment of wholesome cognition. According to circumstances, they appear, not all of them, but individually. We will learn more about that later, and now we come to our second. We have started discussing the second wholesome cetasika, wholesome mental factor, which is present according to the Theravada system, not according to the Northern Abhidhamma, the Vaibhashikas, as I have pointed out, due to their different meditation method, place them among the Sabbachitas, what you have, the category of Sabbachita Sadharana, the mental factors present in each and every moment of cognition, no matter whether it is wholesome or unwholesome or vipaka condition resultant, it will be always there. So we won't go into the detail why these differences. It is a very fascinating subject, but it is not really, I won't integrate it into our explanation. You can make a research later. I'm here to encourage you to study more and get more knowledge. And because you have decided to be monk in the south, northern tradition, you should also try to learn the northern Abhidhamma tradition and try to integrate these two systems together. This is a great job. And because you are living in the West, in a place where we have no tradition of our own, we can do it in Burma and so on. In the traditional Buddhist countries, it is very difficult because they just learn one system. But it is a challenge for you because you belong to you are not traditional Buddhist. So you can make a much wider understanding, much wider perspective, and it is a very challenging task. So now we come to our sati, which comes after sada being first, sati second. We have, to some extent, we have explained the link between sada and the sati. I hope you remember it. And we have then explained sati. We have explained that the basic meaning of sati means memory, smriti. So the memory, it is in a way can be very intriguing, because memory in narrow sense means remembering something past. But the meaning of sati is usually translated as mindfulness, and mindfulness means nothing else but the Geistgegenwärtigkeit, wie kann man das übersetzen? The presence of the mind. Presence of the mind. So how to relate these together? Actually, it is very logical. And it is very clear. The lakhana, the characteristic of the sati, as we have explained in the morning, is apilapana. Apilapana means not floating away from the desired object. The Abhidharma Kosha explains it as samstute vastuni asampramosha. Anyone here student of Sanskrit? No one. Sanskrit, very wonderful language. In a way, it has some things are it is key to the whole of the Indian thinking, because Sanskrit is related to everything, even to Pali. Samstute vastuni asampramosha means the not forgetting. The desired object to be forgotten. Or linguistically, it can be also interpreted from mush, means also stolen, not to be stolen. We have already mentioned that the sati is compared to the watchtower, huh? And the guardian of the watchtower, he sees to it that the no one gets into the camp, no enemy gets into the camp. So apilapana is compared, the not floating away is compared to, in the Visuddhimagga it is explained, the commentary of Visuddhimagga explains it, like you floating away, if the mind has no sati, it is like a pumpkin, dry pumpkin, floating on the shrota, on the stream. So if your mind has no sati, it is like a dry pumpkin floating on the river. You should be aware of that. That is why the sati, we have already said in Chula Vedala Sutta, is explained as the pachaya, as the condition of samadhi. Without sati, no question of samadhi. If the mind is like a dry pumpkin floating on the river, what kind of samadhi will you practice? So, this we have already also explained in the morning, that in the northern tradition, this apilapana, linguistically very strange, but is explained in Abhidharma Kosha as abhilapana, which abhilapana means articulation of the object, but it is also very wonderful notion of the sati. It articulates the object in our mind. Only those objects which are articulated, which are clear to our mind, these are the objects which we can remember. So when we experience this object with a mind which does not float, which articulates them clearly. Articulate here does not mean just using words for it. It is before using words. The using words, the vachi sankhara is considered to be applied thought and sustained thought. The sati is not that which creates the language, but the sati is that which establishes the object in the mind. So it's a real function is upatthana, upasthana. The establishing the objects, the desired objects in the mind. That is also the reason why the in the Vaibhashika tradition, it is present in each and every moment of cognition, because unless the object is, no matter whether wholesome or unwholesome cognition, unless you establish object in the mind, what kind of cognition will be there? But in the Theravada tradition, it is only wholesome, because as we have mentioned, it is explained as the also the bringing object to the mind in the sense of wisdom, of knowing which object is beneficial and which object is unbeneficial. Therefore, this like a watchtower, looking from the watchtower to guarding the mind. So the manifestation of sati, how do you know you have sati in your mind? Because you are guarding your mind. And as the Dhammapada says, only the mind which is guarded can bring happiness. Chittam gutam sukha vaham. The mind which is guarded is the mind which brings happiness to the mind. That is why it is the condition of samadhi. So the job of the Dhammapada says that the job of the wise man is chitam rakhati medavi. The wise man, he guards his mind, because a mind guarded is the source of happiness. And who does this job? No one else than sati, because it establishes the mind in the object, in the wholesome mind, in the Theravada, especially what is emphasized in the wholesome object. So the essence of the sati, the function of the sati, are these four satipatthanas. They are called in Sanskrit smriti upasthanas, smriti upasthanas. Smriti upasthanas means the establishing of the mind in the foundations and these are also foundations of the wholesome. Why they are foundation of the wholesome? Because due to sati, the mind establishes itself in the wholesome instead of the four vipalasas, the four distortions of the perception. You have the yoniso manasikara. Yoniso manasikara means freedom from the four perversions of perception. And which are the four perversions of perception? Seeing subha in asubha, seeing pure in impure. The cure for that is mindfulness of the body, establishing the body in the mind. Then taking anicca as nicca, taking the impermanent as permanent, the second vipalasa, The cure for that is what? The cure for that is citta anupassana, the mindfulness of the mind. Because nothing is more impermanent than the mind. For the one who has established the or his object in the mind. Then, taking the dukkha for sukha, what is the cure for that? The mindfulness of Vedana. And finally, taking the non-self for self, what is the medicine for that? What is the cure for that? The mindfulness of the Dhamma, of the mental objects that are conducive to liberation. The Dhammas are not just mental objects, as is usually translated in most of the books, but they are special mental objects conducive to liberation. No other mental object. Because mental objects, we have millions and milliards of mental objects. And bringing them to mind is not useful at all. It is only hindrance. So to remove this hindrance of bringing unuseful objects to mind, there are four foundations of attentiveness, four foundations of mindfulness. Then if you practice them, then you don't bring useless objects to mind, you bring useful objects to mind, and only when you bring useful objects to mind you will develop the samatha and vipassana wisdoms. So mindfulness is there to be aware what kind of object you establishing in the mind. Is it a useful object or is it useless object? Because most of the time we have been establishing useless objects in our mind, therefore we can still live in confusion. So now the function or the taste of sati, as we have explained, is asamosa, not forgetting. If you not forgetting the useful object, then you are practicing the taste of mindfulness. And due to that, as we have explained, the manifestation of it will be that visaya abhimukha, the being facing the, it will be manifested by facing the object that you need. And by araka, by guarding, as we have said, that useful object. That much we have explained. Then, as only when the mind is guarding, is holding, so to say, not letting it float away, the useful object, then the wisdom can appear. This is explained in Abhidharma Kosha. Suppose you cut the grass with a sickle. Wisdom is like cutting. And in order to cut the grass with a sickle, you need a handle. You cannot, without a handle, you cannot cut wood. If you have axe and you don't have a handle, then the axe will be useless. So the sati is like a handle of the axe, due to which the axe can wedge or cut the wood. And how this cutting is manifested? By anupasana. Anupasana is nothing else but wisdom. Anupasana means seeing from near. It is nothing else but dasana. The wisdom that comes from practicing mindfulness is nothing but the wisdom of direct seeing of the objects without perversions. So, due to this clear grasping of the object, establishing yourself in the object, then you will be able to remember them very clearly. So, not only present object will come clearly to your mind, but also the past objects will come clearly to your mind. And if you want to understand clearly all the objects, and all the objects are summarized as the five aggregates of existence, as explained in innumerable suttas, you have to understand them as the inner, outer, past, present, future. It's job of whom? Nothing else but sati. Establishing yourself clearly in your perception of the object. Therefore, we have stopped here this morning. The paddhatthana, the primary cause of sati, of establishing oneself in the desired objects, is thirasanya. Thirasanya means nothing else but stable perception. Without sati, no question of stable perception. But now you may object, then what is the difference between sati and samadhi? Samadhi is what brings the things together, sampindana. And due to sampindana, you also, only when sampindana is there, when the bringing things together, holding them together, then you will get stable perception. Otherwise not. If the samadhi is not there, how will there be stable perception? So you should be very clear of the difference between samadhi and sati. While samadhi is molding the mental factors together, not letting them disperse, the mindfulness in the sense of sati is the open awareness of these objects. And without this open awareness, of the objects, you cannot bring them together. That is why the sati is the condition for samadhi. Without sati, no question of samadhi. You have to have open awareness of the objects in order to bring them together. So the sati and samadhi is not a contradiction. They come together in the same mind. They are the condition of all the wholesome minds. The more wholesome the mind is, the more developed the wholesome mind is, the better coordination there is between the two. The samadhi, as we have said, the linguistically, the meaning of samadhi means samadhana, means the correct placing of mind on the object. And the correct placing of the mind on the object is only possible when the mindfulness let you remember the desired objects and let you know what is profitable for you and what is not profitable for you. And the mindfulness then also, due to this function of openness, open awareness, it also can coordinate the wholesome factors in the mind. Due to this coordinating function of the sati, then the wholesome factors of the mind flow smoothly. And that is the condition of samadhi. Samadhi is correct placing of the mind on the object. That means, especially the five faculties, the sadha, virya, panya, samadhi, they become balanced due to the function of the sati. So the sati, the establishing the mind on the desired objects, also then coordinates the desired factors in the mind. And how this is done, to give you an idea, we come again to the northern tradition. In the northern tradition, here I'm speaking about Abhidharma Kosha, which is in the most important book of Abhidharma in the northern tradition, which all the students in China, India, and so on, all the monks and nuns, they start learning Abhidhamma with this book, just like we have this book here in the southern tradition, in northern tradition, Abhidharma Kosha. And in Abhidharma Kosha explained that the sati smriti has three aspects. It has the svabhava smriti. It means remembering and establishing the mind. Here, smriti, it has the real meaning of remembering, the remembering or bringing to mind or being mindful. Sati can translate many, many things. So you should be aware of it, because usually they translate sati by mindfulness, but sati has many more meanings than mindfulness. It is bringing to mind, establishing oneself in, remembering all these meanings are there, but in English we have no word to put them together. So we have to translate actually mindfulness according to the context, not just stick to mindfulness, otherwise you will get into trouble. When we speak of Swabhava Smati, we can say it is, we can not just mindfulness, but bringing to mind the Swabhava, the nature of the object, the characteristic of the object. The second is the alambana smriti, the remembering the object itself. And here the object does not mean one object, it means all objects. All objects have to be the objects of mindfulness. Otherwise, if it is not so, then the mind will float like a dry pumpkin on the surface of the water. Good objects, bad objects, all objects, the passions, anger, clinging, all these objects have to be objects of mindfulness. If not, then you are not guarding your mind. And if you are not guarding your mind, you are looking for trouble. That I hope you have already found, all of you. That is why the sati is so important. The sati is the essence of Buddhist meditation. So having a firm perception of all the objects, as it appears to the mind, that is also function of the sati. So it involves openness of the mind. This openness of the mind has to be combined with its ability to mold the mental factors together. If you become master of this balancing, then you will be great in meditation. It is not easy to learn. The secret is balancing the faculties. And balancing the factors of enlightenment. That is why the sati comes as first factor of enlightenment. If sati is not there, no wisdom appears. And if no wisdom appears, then how will you attain a subtle mind? So we have mentioned the second aspect of smati, then the third aspect of smati. Samsarga, samsarga smriti. Samsarga means what we have already mentioned. Samsarga means combination, combining the mental factors together in your mind for your benefit, for the purpose of guarding your mind. That is why it is according to the Abhidharma Kosha, it is not the previous to the awareness of the nature of the object, awareness of all the objects. It is the third one of combining the ability of combining the mental factors, which due to which you will be able to cut off the defilements. Just only awareness of the nature of things and of the objects is not enough to cut off the defilements. You have to know how to combine the mental factors, how not to let one factor prevail over the other, but keep them in balance. So only if you can do that, when sati, mindfulness, balances the effort or energy with wisdom, and if you have only energy with concentration, I have made a mistake. If you have only concentration, what will happen? Excitement. Excitement is a defilement of the mind. It is a defilement due to what? Due to non-tranquility of the mind. The excitement is the opposite of concentration. So in order to advance in meditation, no matter whether it is samatha or vipassana, the secret is to use mindfulness to balance your effort with concentration. Then you will be able to put your mind correctly on the object. Otherwise, your mind will not be put correctly on the object. Then it will float like a dry pumpkin. Then it will not be able to protect itself from sinking mind and from rising mind. These are the enemies of meditation. Rising mind is effort not protected by samadhi. Sinking mind is samadhi not protected by effort. And who protect these qualities from their enemies, from their setbacks? No one else but sati. So sati, very important job. Then again, if you have a lot of sadha, conviction, and then you will only be excited. If you have a clear distinction of things, but you don't have faith, then you will get depressed. Because when you see that everything is impermanent, everything is selfless, if you don't balance with other faculties, with faith, with concentration, then you will get depressed. And whose job it is to keep wisdom away from getting depressed and keep the conviction away from getting excited. No one else but the sati, mindfulness. So mindfulness is a very important job of putting, of the samsarga, putting the things together, know which vedana is for you beneficial, to guard your experience of the pleasant object, to guard it from attachment, to guard your experience of the unpleasant object from dislike. This is also a job of sati, very important man, very this treasurer. That is why it is compared in Visuddhimagga with a treasurer. It brings to mind all the things that you have in your disposal to protect yourself from undesired conditionings of the mind. No good policy without the treasurer. However good politician is there may be, if he does not rely on the treasurer, then he is just dreaming. Is it true? You wanted to ask something?
Yeah. How does sati learn? You just have to meditate more and more and go the wrong way and go this way and this way, and then eventually you get to a jhana and then your sati remembers, oh, this is the right balance?
The sati itself,
yeah,
as we have said, is the important, manifested by araka, guarding your mind. Guarding your mind and letting the mind face the desired object and remembering it, bringing it to mind. This is how sati works. If you are able to do it, then automatically you are your mind is your own child. If you don't educate it, it will do just one nuisance after the other. Everybody is responsible for his own child. If you don't educate it, you are to expect big troubles. And who is educating the mind? Who keeps it away from doing nuisance? No one else than the sati. Because you notice now there is the pleasant object, I want to grab it. The mind protects itself. There is unpleasant object, I hate it. If you don't guard your mind, you will start kicking, you will start punching someone, you will start getting into illicit relations with all kinds of relations with people, get stuck in these relations. Unless you guard your mind, who will protect you? So sati is a key to wisdom. Without this handle, how can you chop the wood? Even if you have a best axe, if you don't have a handle, no way to chop the wood. So it is the sati, the function of guarding the mind, which brings wisdom into mind. And when the wisdom has established there, then the mind sees things properly as they are. Then you are feeling very comfortable. But unless you have educated your mind with the sati, with by guarding your mind, by not letting it to float away to anything that comes along, then how will wisdom be manifested? Wisdom is seeing things as they really are. Now it is clear? The same if you work as you asked about the anapanasati, you should bring this knowledge in, otherwise your anapanasati can never be successful. So anapanasati, according to the principle I have just explained, it means to be aware of the whole breath, not just focus it on one point, but at the same time to be aware of the touch, at the same time to be aware of coming in and coming out, and of the same time to be aware of the what conditioning your feeling of the breath is, how it is related to your resolution about the object, your putting, your applying the will towards the object, effort, how it is related to the condition of your applying and sustaining mind at the object. All this is known by the sati. It is clear now? So the sati is, if you just mold your attention at the small touching point and you want to grab some nimitta, like so many in the PAOK, so many, especially Western people, it is a nimitta sickness. I have been a little bit teaching the Western people, they have it much more than the Burmese. The nimitta obsession. I have seen some light. With the great eyes. Some light was there. So what? It's this. The sati. This light is just an illusion. It is a maya. It is nothing. What matters is the awareness of what is going on. Then only by this awareness, only by this understanding, you will put your mind correctly to the object. Not just holding on the touching point and trying to catch some calories coming there or something like this. It will come naturally. Only when it comes naturally, then you will have the faculties balanced. Otherwise, no question of getting anywhere into deep meditation. The deep meditation is itself the balance of faculties. So you should be aware of that. The in-breath and out-breath together with the touching point, not just touching point, and try to hold to it. This is called Micha sati, the wrong mindfulness. The samma sati, the right mindfulness, is always openness. What's going on in, what's going on out, what's going on everywhere, everything you are aware of. Therefore, in the meditation, some people, they think that when you are in jhana, then you don't hear anything, you don't see anything, you don't feel anything, you just become dead. And they think that only by concentrating on that small point you will get there. That you can forget your body and you can... But it is completely wrong, because who is doing that? This all is done by these mental factors, not by myself. So the sati is that mental factor which keeps you aware of it and which coordinates these factors. unless it is not there and very clear, then how will you apply your mind to your object correctly? No way. No matter whether it is samatha object or vipassana object, sati is a key. Is it clear now? So the openness of the mind has to be there together with the ability of the mind to mold things together and not let them disperse. Then you can go further into deep meditation. Otherwise, no way. Okay, so now we come to the next, and it is not by chance, as we have mentioned, this order of discussion is very important. The next factor is what we have been discussing yesterday evening. It is the hiri. Hiri means shame, or modesty, or conscience. All these words are there. And how it will appear? Only if sati is there, only if you guard your mind, that is no by chance that the hari in Abhidhamma comes after sati. Only when the sati is there, when you guard your mind, you will have shame, you will have consciousness, you will have modesty, and you will be ashamed of your incorrect cognition. Normally, if sati is not there, you will never be ashamed of your incorrect cognition, and the incorrect cognition will gather and become more and more and will completely dominate you. So educating your mind through sati, it means just educating it in correct cognition, and in correct cognition will manifest itself by being ashamed of the incorrect cognition. That is shame. And how? We will learn tomorrow. It is from 8 to 9, we have to the class, no? We have already 10 minutes surpassed. Usually 8 to 9, right?
Well, we have meditation for 45 minutes, so...
Okay, so we will do it like... 1 hour, a little more, like today, 10 minutes. So tomorrow we will continue. We have pointed out how these mental holes and mental factors are connected. Their order is also very important. The Buddha taught his wisdom is also not just by his ideas, but by the order how he taught these ideas. So it is not by accident that first comes Sadha as a leader of the bunch of wholesome mental factors. When the Sadha is there, only then the function of guarding the mind will become clear. And when we guard the mind, then we will be aware. We will become conscious, we will become modest, we will become ashamed of our unwholesome cognition. That is the job of the hari. And we will discuss it tomorrow. Okay.
Akasatta chabumattha deva naga maindika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chabumattha deva naga maindika punyang tang anumoditwa chiram rakantu desanang akasatta chavumattha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditwa chiram rakantu tumamparang.
Always keep falling, so I hope it will be clear. And you checked it, it's okay, the sound.